The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
The Joanne O'Riordan Podcast. A Big Red Bench production for Cork's Red FM.
Welcome back to the Joanne O'Riordan Podcast with me, Joanne O'Riordan. This week we've got an incredible guest, an 800 and 1500 metre champion, both indoor and outdoor, Amy O'Donoghue. Amy is someone who I've followed on Instagram, not to sound like a weirdo, for quite some time. And she's someone that I mix want to hang out with and also be at the same time, because she takes absolutely sensational pictures, to say the least. But it also turned out, as you will hear at the start of this podcast, we actually have a friend in common. And she's actually been around Mill Street a lot more times than what I would care to admit, being from Mill Street. She also talks about what it was like to grow up as a runner, why she decided to change from Irish dancing into running, and basically what it was like to be an underage superstar and what pressure that had entailed. So don't forget to tune in and enjoy. Amy, how's it going?
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. I'm all good here now. How's everything with you?
It's not too bad. It's quite funny because I found out that we technically have mutual friends, if I am not mistaken, even though I followed you on Instagram for God knows how long. But it turns out a girl that went to school with my cousin, one of the, as we call them, the Connell girls, is one of your friends, right?
Yes, who?
Jessica O'Connell.
Oh, no way. Jess is one of my best friends.
Yeah, Jessica literally lives like 5 miles from my house. Like, I mean, I used to hang out with her when I was younger.
Go away. That is gas. I've been down there loads. I didn't know you were down that side.
Oh, you've been down there loads. Jesus, I didn't know that at all. God, surely. I ran into you at some stage. What?
Honestly, no. That's gas. It's such a small world, isn't it?
I know. It's actually like it's genuinely crazy. Like, but yeah, you've been keeping well in this phase of lockdown, have you?
The connection now is breaking up a bit.
Oh, hold on. Are we back?
Yeah, we're back now. We're good now.
Perfect. So how have you been getting on during this phase of lockdown?
Do you know what? I think this one has been a lot more chilled out than the last one. Now, whether that's just because we kind of are used to it and we knew what was coming, but I'm just, it's the same old for me, really. Like, I'm still training away and I still get to meet my coach once a week, which is lovely. Mm. So yeah, for me, not much has changed. I mean, a lot of my day would be taken up with training, and yeah, I'm just trying to keep a routine, really, counting down the weeks until it ends. But yeah, it's grand.
I was going to say, your routine is probably a lot better than all of us, because you are literally a full-time athlete with Irish Athletics, and you specialise in 800 metres and 15 and in the relay as well. But like, what is your day-to-day routine like, no matter what, as an athlete?
Okay, so we'll take today now, for example. So first I would get up, have my breakfast, and then I go for my run. So usually on a Friday, that would be 7 miles. And then I will come home, have my lunch, chill out for a bit. And then my second session on a Friday is gym. And before this, I would have gone to the gym, like one of the gyms in Limerick. But at the moment now, it would be a home gym session, which I definitely find a lot harder to just get up and get motivated for. So yeah, I have gym in the evening, and yeah, then my dinner, then I suppose just chill out for the evening. But yeah, that would be my two sessions on a Friday now, would be a run in the morning and then a gym in the evening. So it's nice and structured, like, you know.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Yeah. And like every day, I suppose, is every day kind of different? Like, do you try to run different like distances, or do you have like a set distance where you try to beat a time over and over and over again?
I'm so sorry, you broke up there again. Would you be able to say that again, please?
Oh, you're grand. I literally think that's my internet now more than anything, because I just realized my sister has arrived. But in general, like, if you're, I know, I just blame her for everything. If you're basically, is your week like week running like kind of different every day? Do you have a set distance where you try and break a time over and over and over again, or do you just kind of run to clear the head and everything?
So basically, I'd have like two big sessions a week. On a Tuesday, I'd have a tough session, and on a Saturday, I'd have a tough session. Then Monday, Wednesday, Friday would be easier running. Thursday, I'd have my long run. And then I'd have a rest day one day a week, which is nice. But it's nice because you have like an easy day, then a hard day, then an easy day and stuff. So it does break up the week. But yeah, each day would have a specific session, which is nice.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, it is like you've been doing this, like it feels like you've been doing it a long time. But I mean, you only came to running, like in comparison to some athletes, like a little bit later on. Was it secondary school you kind of picked it up?
Yeah, it was secondary school. And yeah, you're right. Like some people will be doing it from when they were like 5 and 6, we'll say. But it was secondary school. It was first year. And I was just going to take the day off school to a competition, as you do. And that was my priority for the day. Like, and I ended up winning the 800. And it was all pure fluke, like that I ended up in the 800, because I mean, I'm sure if it had been a different event, I probably wouldn't have done as well. But it was just a fact. I don't know. I just kind of fell into it. And then I was like, oh, I actually really liked that. I want to do it again. So yeah, it was gas really how it all started.
Yeah. And like, were you always watching like athletics or running or different things like that? Or was it just like not even in the back of your mind at all?
So like I would have enjoyed athletics. I did community games when I was like 7 or 8, but I didn't really have a massive interest in it, to be honest. But I was an Irish dancer, so and like I would have competed at the highest level in Irish dancing. So I guess I had that like kind of like champions mentality from a young age, I suppose, because like Irish dancing is quite intense. I don't think, you know, people that don't really know much about it, it's very intense, like when you're younger. So I definitely had that like discipline, and I was just used to kind of competing under pressure, you know?
Yeah. I had a friend in school who Irish danced like full time, and we used to nickname her Michelle Flatley. That's actually how intense she took it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, no, like she was like she'd come in like the following day and she'd still have like fake tan like literally glued onto her eyelashes and her like her perm still going.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, the Munsters in Irish dancing were the day before the All-Ireland Cross Country Championship, so it was around November time. So like I would rock up to the cross country championships with my two legs were like mahogany because I'd still have the tan on. The rest of me then was white. It's gas, really.
Such a good look for the end of race line pictures
November,
there. Like that's a proud one to have on the mental.
Yeah. I was gonna say,
like, talk to me a little bit about your. Like underage, you were like incredibly, like you were incredibly successful. Like, I mean, you know, you did a historic, you know, middle distance double, you know, in the All-Irelands. You broke like a 20-year-old 800. I literally have it in my notes, 800 meter record. Like, I mean, like, was that ever like any intention for you? Like, was it just, as you were saying earlier, like it's not fluke. Like, obviously you worked hard for everything that you achieved.
Yeah, so to be honest, like that day was still one of the best days of my life. I think I peaked on that day when I did that double and broke that record. But up until that year, up until 2010, even the start of 2011, I was extremely lucky in athletics. I started off winning my first All-Ireland. And so I guess like I set the standard for myself. And I just expected that of myself, that I would win All-Irelands. And I was very lucky, and I did work hard, but I think I was very confident because I never had really had a downfall. So every race I rocked up to, like I was there to win, and that was that. And then 2011 happened and I got injured, and I learned quickly that, you know, it isn't all roses and it's not all fun. But yeah, I think I was extremely lucky now, I have to say, with my underage career, and it was brilliant. I'd say it was confidence and hard work, really.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, it's probably really easy to be incredibly confident when you're winning. Like every good team or athlete, like when you're getting the gold medal or breaking records and people are telling you you're great, like of course your ego is sky high in a good way.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And it is, and it's great. And you know, you're like, God, not that it's easy, but you know, everything is just great. And you know, you expect that of yourself. But I mean, let me tell you, like, it changes quickly. And I think it does happen quite a lot of runners when they're younger, and it's just plain sailing and everything is just fantastic. And the next thing, the injuries start, and then you're humbled very quickly.
I was going to ask like a little bit about first of all, I am going to declare like your Instagram is goals, and I kind of want to kidnap you to take pictures for my Instagram. But like always, you know, you're always talking about like positive, you know, like mental health and, you know, like getting that extra 1% and different things like that. So like when you got injured, was that when you tapped into like the psychology of things, or did that come like a million years later?
Sorry, I literally broke up there towards the end of the question. Were you saying, did it come after the sports psychology bit, is it?
Yeah. So did you kind of tap into it when you got injured, or were you like, oh, forget it, like I can do this myself?
Yeah, no, you're so right. So it didn't, none of that started until after a few years of injuries, and I noticed that I was holding myself back. Like I was talking myself out of running well, and in training I was running well, and then I wouldn't kind of perform as well in races. And, you know, I definitely had like limiting beliefs where I guess I would kind of say to myself, oh, well, she wasn't injured, so, you know, she'll probably do better than me today because I missed this amount of time. And eventually I just realized, like, okay, I have to fix this, because I think in an individual sport, your mental game needs to be really, really high. It really does. So, yeah, that's when I kind of took it upon myself. So I'd say it was maybe 2016 that I started to get interested in it, and then get like really, really passionate about it, because, I mean, I noticed it was kind of then I was like, oh, my God, like this really could make or break someone's career, like how they approach it mentally, like, you know.
Yeah. And like, what were the little tips and tricks that you kind of were picking up on? Like, was it the self-talk? Was it just kind of getting into routine, like accountability, different things like that? Like, what was it in particular that changed your mindset?
So I think for me, it was definitely the self-talk thing was my biggest thing, where I was just really negative to myself and harsh on myself. And I was like, why are you like this? Like, it was, you see, it took a long time to become aware of the way I was speaking to myself, and it took a lot of hard work. And I would say it took 2 or 3 years to really change that up, because if you're used to being harsh on yourself and like your own worst inner critic, it doesn't just change overnight. And I really like try and stress that, like when I'm talking on my stories and on Instagram to people, because I think we now live in a world where everyone wants everything right now, and everyone wants instant results and instant everything. And that's just not how this works. Like, this takes commitment, dedication, years of changing your belief system, you know. But I mean, it does pay off, but it's a lot of hard work, and it does take up a lot of your time and energy.
How, like, what were the everyday things you changed in your routine to get you to talk to yourself a bit better?
So one big thing I did was I would say to myself, okay, speak to yourself in a situation the way you would speak to your best friend. Because say now, we'll take for example, after a shit race, I would say to one of my best friends, I'd be like, you know what, it was just a bad day, let's just put it behind you, like, you know, you're in so much better shape than that, on to the next one. Whereas if it was me, I would like be beating myself up, and I'd be like, you're shit, that was shit. And I was like noticing that, and I was like, why am I doing that? And then I was like, you know what, okay, let's take this different approach. Like, let's talk to yourself the way you would talk to your friends. And eventually I started implementing that more and more and more. And then I started to notice the changes. And another thing I did was like, I really like fake it till you make it. Like, that's a big one. So when I knew I was going to races and I wasn't confident, I pretended I was. And that actually, that helps too. It really does.
Yeah, because I even like I'm like kind of the same if I'm doing like a talk or even like broadcasting or anything like that. Like internally, I'm like, oh my God, why are you doing this? But externally to people, I'm like, I'm so ready. And they're like, are you? You don't look it. I'm like, no, I am. I really am. And then all of a sudden my brain is like, maybe you are. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I think it's more like it's not that you're tricking your brain. It's just you're trying to pretend to it for those 5 minutes. Just be normal and you can have your nervous breakdown later.
Exactly. You just have to, you're right. Like it is almost like trying to trick yourself. And then the next thing you're kind of in the moment and you're like, okay, like I have to do it now. So I'm here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, literally if like RT come like ringing and you're standing in the middle of a broadcast, you can't just get up and they're like 3, 2 and be like, sorry, I'm out. You know, take off your microphone. Exactly. As far as same in the race, like you can't just stand on the line and like, you know, ready, set, and you're like, you know what? I'm not in the mood today. Bye.
Yeah. That's it. Like when once you're on that line, you know, you're it doesn't matter what you're thinking, you still have to, once that gun goes off, you have to go with everyone else, like, so it's gas really.
I know, yeah. I was going to say, like, that would be a reeling in the years segment if Amy O'Donoghue never went off her line, just went, yeah, I'm finished, thanks.
Yeah, that would be a scene, all right.
I know, like, you know, like, kind of like myself, you're kind of into kind of yoga and kind of meditation, all that kind of stuff. Like, are you kind of like me where it's a bit like, I think they call it crisis meditation, where you meditate in a crisis, but you don't do it routine enough to actually avoid said crisis? Or are you quite strict and good with yourself?
Do you know what? When I first started doing it, I was quite strict. And I even made myself video myself every day. So after I did it, because it was like a 30-day challenge, I would hold myself accountable by being like, into myself, into the phone, hello, this was hard today, blah, 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 bye. And it worked. But now I kind of relaxed it for a while. But yes, I totally get you with the crisis. Like, if you're up the walls about something, then I think it's really good. But I also think with yoga, you don't see the benefits straight away. Like, it takes a few months.
No.
Would you agree? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, like, as an athlete, you're probably the same because your work is a lot more physical than what I would do. So, like, you're probably like, you know, I do a workout, boom, I'm in pain. I do 3 stretches. What's the difference?
Yeah. Yeah, I do like
How does it help you in athletics?
I definitely think it is more of a mental thing where, like, when you're doing yoga and your brain is just like, oh, I want to think, I don't want to relax. It's kind of it translates into racing as well, because before a race, your brain is like just going crazy and you're just like, okay, you need to calm down, you need to chill. And I think that's how yoga helps. It really does put you into that zone where you can relax. And then I think because you're doing yoga, you're practicing it that bit more, and then you can do it in running that bit more as well.
Like, when you're on the start race, like, I know we were joking about you walking off, but what are you thinking about anything when you're on the line, or is everything wiped from your brain? Like, can you do that?
No, I'm definitely thinking, because for middle distance running, you would be standing there for a few minutes before the gun goes off. And I'm just really trying to, like, talk positively to myself, and I'm just like, okay, you got this, Amy, let's go. And I'm just like trying to think of like every single positive thing. I'm like, come on, just come into my brain. And just trying to like break the race up into little segments in my head. But yeah, it's definitely a stressful time, like, when you're on that start line, I won't lie.
Are you looking for anyone or anything in particular? Like, is your focus just on internal kind of rumblings, or are you like, where's mom? Is mom there?
No, no, because if I was, that I'd be distracted. So I normally know where they would be around the track. But yeah, no, I'm trying to, because if I see someone I know on the start line, I'd be like, oh my God, there's blah, blah, blah. Hi. Whereas I'm like, no, like, you need to focus. So yeah, I definitely would be like looking straight ahead, like blinkers on. and like I'd have my game face on, so I probably wouldn't be like moody, but I mean I put the face on, so again, fake it till you make it.
I was gonna say it's a good competitor like face that you've got going. Like I suppose to bridge, like did you find it a little bit difficult to bridge the gap between underage and senior? Like I know it could be like kind of the same in like Gaelic football or anything like that, but a lot of people who'd be pipped to be quite good, they seem to get a little bit lost. Did you find that difficult yourself?
Oh, 100%. I would say, so my injuries started fifth year of secondary school. And then it was a bit of a shit show for a few years. I went to America on scholarship. I was injured over there. You know, I didn't have a great, do you know what? It was a very cool experience, but overall, for running, just did not work for me. I had to get surgery when I came home, and I lost a lot of time and a lot of training. And when I look back, like those years, I was not the runner that I wanted to be. And it wasn't, so that period of time started in 2011, and I didn't start running well again until 2014. And then I had a few more injuries, and really, I would say 2018 is when I finally got back to the athlete I am or I was. And I mean, that's from 2011 to 2018, I would say I underperformed, like, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, it's quite a long time in like literally. So like how did you keep motivated, or even did you at any stage say, screw it, this isn't for me?
Do you know what? Like, I can be a bit of a drama queen now sometimes. And I remember there was one year, and I just, it was after a cross country race. I think I just underperformed and I was like, that's it. I'm giving up. And I was it like maybe 2015 or something? But I did. I took a break for 2 weeks and I was ready to rock again then. But no, I never went away from athletics ever. I just kind of, do you know what? Like, I was in college, I was enjoying myself, I was going out, and I had fun. But like when I look at the athlete I am now, I kind of had lower standards for myself, I think. And do you know what? I just wasn't mature. You know, I'm 26 now, like, and I still think I'm 18.
So, yeah.
Like when I actually was in college, I just I wasn't mature enough to just really put the head down and go all in. Whereas I think once I kind of hit 24, I was like, you know what, like I'm ready now, like, and I'm ready to really step it up. And it's showing, like, and it's taken a long time, but I think I'm finally getting there. But I think another thing is I missed a lot of consistency. So that's why I wasn't able to get into the shape that I should have, is because I didn't have that consistent block of training behind me because I was always injured. Whereas now I have that and I'm stronger. So that's kind of showing now.
Yeah, like I was going to ask, like, did you need those like crazy years in college? I'm not saying you were mental, like, but did you need like to be able to go out and to be able to effectively live your life as if you weren't an athlete in order to kind of be more thankful for the life of an athlete you could have?
I think so. Yeah, like I think I went to Mary Eye, and I'd say I definitely, for the most part, I had a good balance where I trained away and I also went out. Like I never missed a training session but I was probably a lot more tired than I should have been going into sessions. But I guess it was more when I was injured, I would have gone out a bit more and enjoyed myself. But yeah, I think that's what, in that moment, I was like, I'm going out, like I want to have fun when I'm injured. And whereas now that's just not the mentality I have at all. And I guess, I mean, don't get me wrong, now, if there was a festival on right now, I'd love to go. But just for the most part, I think like, now I understand, well, there's times in the year where you can go out and there's times where you can't. And like, I'm perfectly fine with that now.
I was going to say, what festivals are you we're not going to now, but what festivals were you going to?
Oh, I was actually supposed to go to Ibiza last summer for the first time. This year. Yeah, I love dance music. I love festivals. Like I've been to like Tomorrowland, Ziggit, Creamfields. I love going to festivals. So Yeah, I mean, God knows when they'll be back, if ever. But like,
oh God.
Yeah. So like how I normally would work it every summer is at the end of my season, I would go on holiday and then try and plan a festival like in or around somewhere. So that would kind of be like my treat, we'll say, at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that didn't happen this year.
I feel really awful now. I'm like, oh no, she's sitting now thinking like, I wonder what Ibiza be like this time.
Yeah, no, it's mental now though. I mean, I feel like, do you know, with the way things are now, who knows when we'll get to go away and experience
normality. Enjoy festivals again.
Yeah, Jesus. Exactly.
I know. In my head, I'm like, I'll go to a concert no matter what it is, even if it's with 10 people.
I know.
I'll be the volunteer.
Exactly.
You mentioned dance music is obviously your go-to like tunes. Is that as well when you're working out? Like, does it give you a bit more, I don't know, like, do the way for some people, music is like the last hurdle, let's say. They're like, okay, you know, Calvin Harris blaring in the earphones, I can do this. Is that you?
Oh, 100%. Like, I never, ever, when I'm out running, I never listen to music with words. It's only dance music. And I know, it like helps me get in the zone. And I feel like just because it's like, you know, real energetic music, that it gives me energy when I'm running. And it like definitely motivates me before races and stuff, like really gets me in the zone. So I really do think it helps, even in the gym as well. I'd always listen to dance music, but I think since I've been young, I love rhythm, anything with rhythm. So I think that's why I love it so much. But yeah, I definitely think it helps.
I'm laughing because, oh God, when I was, I'm going to say around 7 or 8 in Mill Street, we had a 24-hour rave. I remember I was only like 7 or 8 and my sister went. Yeah, my sister went, and I remember we were literally, I was in bed and all I could hear was like Scooter at like 4 o'clock in the morning, like playing whatever, like the Logical song, whatever it was, over and over and over again. And it was like maybe 10 years after, I was sitting in mats with one of the girls, and her grandfather would have been Noel C, who owns the Green Glens. And yes. She was like sitting there. She was like, do you remember when Scooter came to town? I was like, oh God. I was like, I was just thinking about this recently. And she was like, I tried to sneak in, but my mom said no because I was only 8.
But you know, there was a festival in Mill Street there, Techworks. That was in the Green Glens.
Yeah, Techworks. Yeah, that... why didn't I go? I think I was working a game, not far away, but far enough away. But my sister went, and was it Jax Jones? Was he the headliner?
Yeah, there was loads there. I went in 2018 and 2019, and then it stopped in 2020. But it was brilliant.
I was going to say, I'm incredibly uncool where I wouldn't, I go, don't get me wrong, with friends and stuff, but I'm incredibly uncool where I would be waiting for someone with like a guitar or something like that to emerge.
Okay.
I'm not cool enough for this conversation. I just need to confirm this now.
I'm the opposite then. I'm like, no, like I'm the first person on the dance floor and the last person off the dance floor. I'm like, give me anything with a bass and a beat.
there's this playlist on Spotify. I'm really giving away how uncool I am, and it's literally called Songs White People Get Turned To, and it's basically just a load of like Neil Diamond and different things like that. It's a wedding. It's basically a wedding playlist.
Oh my God, that's
got like all the ridiculous cheesy hits. But yeah, you can catch me in the corner listening to that playlist with my AirPods on as well.
That's brilliant.
That's how sad my life is. I can confirm. That was part one of my chat with Amy O'Donoghue, 1500 meter and 800 meter champion, both outdoor and indoors. Tune in next week, where she will continue to talk about what it was like to be an underage superstar, her life as a college athlete, and also on top of that, how she decided to change her mental aspect and how that affected her race, from visualization to faking it till she made it, and a bit of yoga in between. Don't forget to follow us on social media at @JoannaWarr_OX and at Big Red Bench. Cheerio!
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.